The Bench on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Thursday morning. Just a couple more days until you're in the weekend. The first Texans game of 2021 takes place against the Green Bay Packers. But before that happens, I'm Lance Zierlein. Heard the love from you guys as you guys said, no, stay away. We want more Keyshawn Johnson. I saw it on Twitter. More Keyshawn. Can John and Lance and Dell just stay out so we get more Keyshawn? And we heard you. But the fact is, we're back to do a show. You just can't do more Keyshawn, okay? You don't get more Keyshawn. As much as you want more Keyshawn, too bad. Because today we are celebrating a sweep. Today, Dell and I will celebrate a huge Astros sweep as they sweep the Colorado Rockies. They finish it off, the two-game set, as the Astros take care of business 5-1 yesterday. And Fromber with win number 8. He had 8 strikeouts. He had 4 walks, because that's what Fromber does. He threw 100 pitches. 54 were for strikes. Only 46 were for balls. Okay, that's not too bad. And for whatever reason, he still can't find a plate like he was all of last year and the beginning of this year. I don't know what it is, but, I mean, it's a win. Fromber gets a win, but 4 walks in 6 innings is just not good. I mean, it's eventually going to catch up with you against the better teams, the teams that can hit. You cannot continue to put guys on base through walks. And yet that's what he's doing. And I know it's a win, and I know I'm supposed to be excited, but I've been waiting for this Fromber thing to flip. But this has been going on since June, seemingly as long as Alex Bregman's been out, and which is a separate note we'll get to. But, Dell, you know, when you have a guy that last year was your for-sure ace, you just want the walk stuff to go away at some point. You just want him to be able to throw strikes and have command. I thought Brent Strom would get this taken care of by now. Obviously, it's beyond Strom and beyond, I would say, it's probably beyond, at this point, even mechanical stuff. It's probably mental to an extent, because you look at what he did in the past, then you look at what he did last year, and then he's regressed to some of the stuff he's done in the past. It looks like it's one of those things where he just can't quite get back to where he was.
I was here watching the game while producing the show for Joel and Patrick as the press box comes to an end. You know, that'll be a different name for that show starting next week. But you watch Fromber in that first inning, and you could see the beginnings of what would be maybe a bit of a scuffle. Now, he only allowed the one run in that inning, thankfully. But those type of batters and just the process he was going through kind of became a thing throughout the game, where he would look ridiculous against one batter, and then the next batter would be like, "Huh, can't find a strike zone." Was playing around at the knees and couldn't hit the spots he's looking for. You could see the frustration on his face in certain parts, even when he would get out of an inning, but he had walked a guy or hit a guy to make the inning tougher on himself. You would watch him shake his head. There was this shot, AT&T Sportsnet had the game. He got out of a jam. And he took his hat off, and you could just see him shaking his head. And that was the final image of him walking off the mound. Just this look of, what is going on out here? Yeah, I didn't allow a run this inning, but I'm not where I want to be.
Yeah, that was the fifth. You know, in the first inning, he gave up the run and gave up some hits, and you thought he could get in trouble. Then he kind of settled in for 2, 3, and 4. Then you get back to the fifth and had a couple of walks in that inning. And it's just something. Then in the sixth, you know, he had a hit by pitch, another walk, could have got himself in trouble and got out of that one with a strikeout swing. He's still got his stuff. Like, he's still got pretty good stuff. Even when he's putting people on base, a lot of times he's avoiding the trouble just because, you know, his stuff is still there. And I guess that's the main focus. But, you know, I hate to dig too deep into that. I'm just waiting for Fromber to just become dominant again. And up to this point, it hasn't. He's still got good stuff, but just putting too many men on base. Now, a guy who has really showed up has been Aledmys Díaz since he came off the injured list. He has been terrific and really
been hot over the last four. He's 8 of 16. He had three hits yesterday, three RBIs. He was the man. And there've been like three different games where you say, man, Aledmys Diaz is the guy tonight, where Aledmys has really come on. He's 8 of 16 with six RBIs over his last four games. So three of those games have been multi-hit games. So he's really, you know, he's really put it together. But it is an Astros team that is 4-5 in the month of August. So they have scuffled a little bit. I go out of town, and they lose 3-4 to the Twins. And this whole plan to the level of your competition thing is really a little bit maddening. 4-5, as I mentioned, in the month because of the series against the Twins. Now you go up against an Angels team that, you know, you're clearly better than the Angels. You got three games coming up against the Angels. Your starting pitching, it doesn't start until tomorrow. Your starting pitching looks like Greinke, Garcia, and McCullers. So you're going to get a look at those three as they take on the Angels. So Astros have a chance to jump out and take care of business against a team that they're clearly better than. But that doesn't always matter with the Houston Astros because they save their best games for the best teams and then, for whatever reason, have a tendency to play down to their level of competition. But we'll see how it rolls out here coming up against the Angels. It's at LA, so all weekend long you'll have the night games. Well, 8:30, 8:07, and you got a 3:07 game on Sunday, so you have your afternoon game there. As far as football is concerned, I did mention Texans preseason gets started this weekend. And, you know, for comparison's sake, I'll just say this for comparison's sake. So last night I'm driving home. We flew back. I got back in from out of town, but we flew in from Denver to Dallas, and then we had to drive from Dallas here.
Why did you have to drive to Dallas the first time?
So we went to Dallas the first time. We were going to go watch. You're going to laugh at this.
I probably am. Sure, I will.
Jason, we were going to see Jason Isbell.
Jason Isbell?
Yeah, we were going to go see him in Dallas.
Is he one of those new country dudes, Trey, that you don't like?
I kind of like Jason Isbell. Okay.
Yeah, he's got great voice. He's kind of folk, kind of country. Like, he's one of those guys who walks the line. But he, it turns out that even though they announced this June 10th, we somehow missed this. And so we go to his concert August 6th at this place called the Bomb Factory in Dallas.
I hate that place.
Yeah, I've never been there. Sucks. And I've still never been there because that concert didn't exist August 6th. It had been moved one full week ahead. Well, then it turns out he canceled Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion concert because they wouldn't go by his COVID standards. And he also moved his, like, we've got tickets for him, but he had moved his concert to one, he had moved it one full week forward. So we're in Dallas for a concert that doesn't even exist. We get there and there's one other couple like, you know where a concert is? We're like, well, this isn't a good sign. Clearly, one's around here.
Well, he had issues. As you mentioned, he canceled the event in Houston. And there was a back and forth with Fox 26 own Sally McDonald about this.
I saw she, people on Twitter find out things about you.
Yes. Now, as Lance mentioned, Jason.
So I flew back. So make a long story short, we left the car there. We flew from Dallas to Denver because that was our plan, and we ended up seeing Wilco at Red Rocks eventually coming back. But then we had to fly back to Denver. Flight got delayed 3 hours, so I got in last night a little after midnight, it turns out. But, Jason Isbell, who we were going to see, he did get back into it. A reporter from Fox just said, hey, look, Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion actually so said what it wasn't like you. Yeah.
So the deal is Jason Isbell requires everyone to wear a mask at his
show. Or have a vaccination card.
Vaccination card. A vaccination card. I'm not going to perform. If that's not a part of the deal, you can't get in if you don't do that. You don't provide that. So Cynthia Woods Mitchell Pavilion, at least according to Sally McDonald, the pavilion statement doesn't say they weren't willing to comply. It says they couldn't implement a change like that on short notice. Like everywhere else, they are short staffed too. Jason Isbell responded, quote tweeted that the pavilion statement is false. Live Nation, the promoter, was on board, but the venue owner flat out refused to even attempt to implement the policy. And then he continues to go, yes, Sally McDonald is the daughter of the Houston venue owner I was referring to. She probably should have said that.
Ooh.
That sounds like a conflict of interest.
Hey, Dad,
Do you have a comment? Do you have a statement that I can put on Twitter, Dad?
Yeah, that's that was a little weird when she got busted with that whole thing came out.
Yes.
When it came out, like, hey, isn't that your dad? Oh yeah.
Yeah. So officially, Isabel won't play any venue that didn't require COVID vaccination proof or a negative test. One of the two had to be in as part of, I guess, selling a ticket. And Cynthia Woods like, nah, we're not going to do that.
I guess my wife also is saying, also he asked July 31st. That's still relatively, well, I don't know. I don't know if that's considered not much time to get it implemented or not, if a couple weeks. But so, yeah, so that's why we were in Dallas. We went to see him in Dallas. We apparently didn't even know the concert didn't exist, so we spent a night in Dallas that didn't need to be spent there before taking off to the other thing. But so I'm coming back last night. I'm watching Hard Knocks, and I haven't watched the last couple years because I just, for whatever reason, I love Hard Knocks. I just haven't gotten into it. And if you miss the first one, it feels like you don't, you know, it's hard getting into it. But I've got to do Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks today, and one of the topics is Hard Knocks. So I'm like, okay, let me watch this on the way back. And I'm watching the Cowboys, and this is Jerry Jones, right? I mean, it's a circus. You got Zeke Elliott and Dak Prescott coming back from the knee and all this stuff. And I'm watching, and it's a good show. Hard Knocks is always really good. It's just so damn disappointing to watch a team. Even Dallas, you think it's kind of, you know, like a circus, but it just looks like a real football team. Like, oh, look at all those real football players. Look at all these guys who have Pro Bowls under their belt. Oh, look, here's a head coach, you know, MFing his team over something, or a player, having this big strong statement when he's having a meeting and he wants to push a certain theme with the team. And here's Jerry Jones talking about that he literally do anything for a win this year. Like, he almost starts crying at this press conference. He's so desperate. And all I can think of is Cal and David Culley and Nick Caserio and the Texans. And I'm just like, I just long for the days of having a regular football team again with players. And, you know, and it wasn't that long ago that this was the case for the Texans. The Texans had it. Maybe I feel like a little bit like, man, you should have appreciated your average football team with a record better than you anticipated a little bit more, because they do play this weekend. But I'm looking over things for the Texans game. And right now, the things that stand out to me are Bradley Roby's on the COVID list. Well done, Bradley. Bradley's on the COVID list. He just got put on there. I want to see Philip Lindsay as presume the starting running back. That's the talk, is he's going to be the starter. David Johnson's going to be more of a third down back. And I'm not sure what Mark Ingram's going to be. I want to see what happens with the cornerback situation. And I guess what Davis Mills does interests me. I'm just,
it better.
My storylines for the game. I do have certain things that I want to see from a football standpoint, it's basically, hey, what does this team look like? What do these new players look like? That's the kind of stuff.
Yeah, we talked about, at least I talked about it with John, I think maybe Monday or Tuesday, about what can you get out of a year where you don't think your team's very good. And it kind of starts against the Packers. Can you find players that, I don't know if you want to call them long-term solutions, but you can look to and go, okay, that can be a piece for next year, whether it's a big piece or maybe a mid-tier, bottom-of-the-roster guy, but that's a dependable player that you can say fits what we want to do and can either set a standard for when we get more talented players in, or can be part of a winning team. And you have to hope you can find a couple from the free agents you sign and obviously your draft picks. Look, the Davis Mills thing will play out pretty quickly. Clearly, if he plays, we'll get to see if he's good enough. And if he plays enough, we'll get to see if he's a long-term answer possibly. But the guys like Reverend Jordan and Wallow and, to a lesser extent, Roy Lopez and Nico Collins, those are the guys I would be locked in on to see if the picks were right, if there's any sign of potential, and if you put them around better players, they'll start to shine and you can start to go, okay.
Yeah,
we're not good.
And Nico Collins could be one of those guys.
These are guys who can play for us.
Nico and Brevin, people are asking, the three guys that people ask the most questions about in press conferences are Brevin Jordan, Nico Collins. Well, okay, Deshaun Watson. And then Brevin Jordan, Nico Collins, and Davis Mills. There's a lot of questions being asked about those three rookies. And I think it's because people, for the same reason that you're talking about, Dell, you want to find a little bit of hope from somebody that is going to be a long-term Texan as opposed to one of these one-and-done Texans. Speaking of those Houston Texans, there are signs that the Deshaun Watson saga at Texans camp, or some people call it Camp Casario, there are signs that that may be starting to wear on the Houston Texans a little bit and having to answer the same questions over and over. We'll tell you what steps they tried to take yesterday. It was foiled by the league in what may be an attempt to get out of all the Deshaun Watson questions moving forward. But until then, I want to tell you about Texas Custom Patio. My guy, Steve Schell, we're going to meet today. I got to say, I think it's 2:30. We finally meet today. I've been telling you I was going to meet with him, and he's had stuff come up, and I've had stuff come up. And what I'm going to do is something I should have done from the beginning. I'm going to get a kitchen installed into my outdoor patio. And I had the space, you know, they created, I had this big space where Steven envisioned it, where the patio would go. And they pitched a roof and then added it onto the pre-existing home to where it created all this space. I've got this great vaulted ceiling, the two ceiling fans that hang down. I got the TV installed, the system, the surround sound that is installed in the ceiling itself. It's a great space. What it misses is a cooktop, which I'm going to get a cooktop and I'm going to get a grill put in there. And this is what they can do with you. They can basically show you exactly what you can have. They can show you all the bells and whistles. You can trim it down. Later on, you can have things added if you want to. But I'm just telling you now, they beautify your outdoors to an extent that you basically have a second living facility or outdoor kitchen, and you will love the day that it's finished because it will change everything. Turn your house into a home with my friends over at TexasCustomPatios.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Starting Monday, August 16th, change is on the way.
Look, we're going to shake things up.
New voices, new shows, more passion and coverage of the teams you care about.
Deep to left field. You've got to be kidding me. Altuve's done it again.
Throws wide open. Touchdown.
The Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
Join us for the next chapter. ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
7:20 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein and Dale Olele. It's good to be back. I missed that time Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It's getting nut cutting time. We got football season right around the corner. I don't know crap about my fantasy football stuff is usually locked down strong. I used to do fantasy ratings. They were what a lot of people call championship fantasy football ratings, quote unquote, the best in the business.
Who said that?
No one had better ratings. I had the best fantasy ratings. And I would sell them, and I would be, like, on top of everything from June, July, moving forward. And now that I'm not doing the ratings, I don't get started with fantasy football until later. But we're going to start getting some fantasy football conversation going next week to try to help you with your drafts. And you guys, obviously, who have the drafts already, you know, you get it so early. I don't know what y'all are doing. You clearly are going to screw yourselves with injuries. But it is what it is. Now, I have signed up with Underdog Fantasy with season-long fantasy. So I've already started that. That was pretty fun. Those are ones you actually can do drafts and have your teams. I talked about, you know, as far as fantasy football is concerned, Philip Lindsay could be a guy who has some value in fantasy football. Nico Collins, maybe. Brandon Cooks, for sure, will have some fantasy football value. But I think the big question is going to be and continue to be around camp about Deshaun Watson and what does this mean and that mean. And did you and John get into it at all about the Texans kind of reversing course a little bit and saying, well, you know, Deshaun, we'd still like for him to stay. They start leaking that. Did y'all talk about?
Yeah, Charles Robinson had a story. John didn't particularly believe it. He's steadfast in his belief that the Texans don't want Deshaun as the face of their franchise anymore. And it's a mutual parting of the ways whenever it comes down to it. Like, they were forced into this by Deshaun's request, but after the documented alleged things that Deshaun does with some massage therapists, some not massage therapists, that they don't want him around anymore. That's what his belief is.
I think that this was them putting this out there was just another way to try to create some kind of leverage where you can't just think you're going to get Deshaun Watson for a pittance. If you want to come after him, you know, they want to make people believe, hey, we still could talk Deshaun into staying here. We still want him. Just something to extend or something to increase the value of Deshaun Watson somewhat. I think it's a ploy. I'm kind of with John on this one. I don't think they're going to go with Deshaun Watson. Now, it's interesting, but what I do think they're getting tired of is answering Deshaun Watson questions. And I mean, it's every day. If he's not out there, they have a question about why he's not out there. And by the way, the media is doing their job on the Deshaun Watson stuff. But at some point, I personally don't care what the answer. I'm just telling you, I don't personally care what the answers are now because I already know that it's not going to. It doesn't end with Deshaun Watson wanting to be a Houston Texan, and it doesn't end with the Houston Texans keeping Deshaun Watson long term. If it were up for, you know, if there were questions about it, okay, that's fine. They're asking questions that they need to ask, especially as his status changes, if he's not out on the field, if he is, if he's practicing. They're just trying to get their answers. David Culley, after getting his hand slapped for giving too much information on a podcast, on the Hustle and Flow podcast, he has been very careful with his answers with Deshaun Watson. He has not slipped up once. I thought he might slip up from time to time. He has not been a guy who slips up at all. And Nick Caserio is consistently asked about Deshaun Watson. Well, the Houston Texans did something yesterday that makes me believe that they're getting a little tired of the media having access because they can ask about when Deshaun practices, when he doesn't, when he's, you know, who he's, when he was scout team as a safety, just kind of standing there for the skeleton of the defense when it was scout team. I think they're getting tired of all that. The only way they can shut that down is to limit media access so you don't get to see practice. And that's what they tried to do. They tried what's being called an end around on the media on Wednesday. After Wednesday's training camp practice, reporters were told that training camp was over and the team would be switching to regular season mode. Now, keep in mind, this is before week one of the preseason. So what they're saying is, okay, that's it, guys. Camp's over. We're into regular season mode. I thought you still had three preseason games to play. Well, as they prepare for their first preseason game this weekend, that switch might mean nothing to fans, but it's everything to the media because training camp practices are completely open to reporters. But regular season practices are open for just 20 minutes, and the rest is closed where you can't see what's going on. Well, NFL rules state that beginning the first day of preseason training camp through August 26, all daily practices must be open in their entirety. When informed of the NFL policy, the Texans relented and all practices will be open to the media for a couple more weeks. The reason that this is kind of a big deal is I doubt that the Texans had no idea about what they were doing. It's highly unlikely that the Texans had no idea that the media that this was a league. How do you not know a league rule? They shut it down because they don't. And if they didn't know it was a league rule, then why were they shutting it down so early? I think it's easy. They're tired of this second by second, play by play with Deshaun Watson that takes place on Twitter, and then all the content that comes from that. And the fact is, you had to know he was going to be a bit of a distraction when he came in, or it was going to at least create. If it's not a distraction, he's going to create questions. And so if you're the Texans, you may get tired of it, but I don't know that I would. I think this does kind of show who Nick Caserio is, because the guy who would have said, let's shut it down, is Nick Caserio. And that is a Patriots move. They don't want you to have access. They don't want you to know anything. And they, frankly, I don't think the Texans under Nick Caserio are going to think anything that happens is any of your business. It's not my business, and it's not you, the fans' business. It's Texans' business. That's kind of how they're going to operate.
Depending on the media member and, you know, people who follow a team's reaction to that media member, they may just say, shut up. We don't really care that your access is diminished. And you know what? I have been of the opinion that I don't really care, maybe because I'm disassociating myself from the media despite what I do about how media members feel about certain things. So I get it as a fan. But that doesn't particularly bother me. It's just that I don't like any of the Texans, how they process things and what the process is. I didn't like how they hired the GM. I mean, the coach is one thing. I mean, whatever. We can get into why they hired David Culley, what his possible role is. But let's say it was a legitimate, they liked him, they believe he's the right guy. Fine. But all the other things they've done seem like bad process. And this is just another example of a team who doesn't appear to be just simply locked in on football. There's just a lot of things going on that aren't football-centric, aren't related to getting better. It's all about, well, what is it? We're tired of this. Well, you kind of have to know that this is going to be the deal. Whether you enjoy the media, whether you think they have a rightful place, that's their job to ask questions. And as repetitive as they get, answer the questions or say no comment. It's as simple as that. Why would you enact the rule you know you can't enforce?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And it reeks of, I mean, it really does reek of Nick Caserio basically saying, okay, in New England, Bill Belichick had control of the narratives. They had control of everything. And you know why? Because they won a bunch of Super Bowls and got to the Super Bowl all the time. It's the same thing with Alabama with Nick Saban. When you win all the time, you end up getting a certain level of power over, I think, the local situation. But that's not the case with Nick Caserio. And I think he's trying to instill that New England, all right, circle the wagons, none of your business, close up shop, we're going to control this. That's not the way it's going to work in Houston. You got to do something to earn that. This isn't a super hard media,
and
trust
this is,
me.
And remember, this is the same organization who had to revert back to putting names on, the roster?
Because yeah.
Initially they didn't want names. Or
was that last year?
It was this year, right?
Oh, no, it was training camp.
Training camp.
OTAs or
whatever.
Where
they didn't have...
Yeah.
Was it names on the roster sheet? They just had numbers, so, like, people couldn't identify all the new players were.
Yeah, yeah. And they changed that.
They had to change that.
Because when I went out there, they had everything back on there. I think they had everything back on there.
And because of someone in the media corps said, what are you guys doing? This isn't how it goes. And so they had to do that. So this is the second time they've tried to get over, and it's the second time they kind of been slapped down. I don't know. Everything they do feels like they're not focused on the right things. And maybe this is something that takes 2 minutes to think of and it doesn't really matter. I just don't see other actual real organizations who you could respect do this stuff.
Almighty Dallas says, I don't know. It sounds more like an Easterby joint on this foul up. He runs operations and has a track record of terrible decisions. I can tote see Caserio. That's right. He said I can tote see it. Caserio letting Jack fail publicly to stage a future parting of the ways. I think you're reading too much into it. I think Caserio is just doing Patriots stuff. And I'm telling you, Patriots basically, if you're the media, you shut up. You know your role. Don't ask questions. If you do, you're going to get the Bill Belichick answer treatment that he'll give you. And I'm sorry, it's just not going to fly here. Your team sucks. You're not the Patriots. You're not Super Bowl winners. And the bottom line is, people want to know certain things. I mean, listen, the worst thing the Texans can do is they already have limited the amount of fans who can get out to practices to only season ticket holders. They already did that, which is not going to be great. Don't limit access. And when I say the media, the only way we have access to practices is through guys asking questions, basically. And you get your sound bites, and they find out what's going on with Deshaun Watson. Whether I'm tired of it or you're tired of it, Dell, there are plenty of people out there who still believe Deshaun Watson could be a Houston Texan. There's a lot of people out there who think that, who are Texans fans. And those fans want certain questions asked. I mean, I'm curious about, is there any chance he could be traded before the season? I mean, I'd rather they wait until the price tag, but... You know, one of the best ways to do that is maybe throw him out there and let him get some reps with the ones and twos, create a little bit of buzz, and maybe, you know, you see some video and maybe some GMs start talking and all of a sudden they say, you know what, let's check in and see what's going on with the Houston Texans. I still think all of his legal stuff is going to preclude anyone from trading for him, at least giving you fair value. Keyshawn Johnson, I guess, said I'd give a second and a fourth. Well, Keyshawn, that's why we come on at 7 o'clock and people don't want to hear you anymore.
I thought you said
because
people.
Because you say stuff like that.
You said people wanted to hear them.
I'm sorry,
what do
my
you mean?
Bad. That's why people love hearing from Keyshawn Johnson because he says stuff like that.
The tech that we got to go to break. The Texans created this. They didn't create this, but since they were put in a bad position, they decided, you know what, Deshaun, we want you to come to camp, but we want you to hang out for the media viewing portion, at least where they can film, and then you can walk off and not do anything. I don't know what that's supposed to do other than we want to make him uncomfortable by being out there, but then he can just leave. Once you decide he's not going to actually practice, why even have him out there? Like, if you're gonna dress him up, might as well let him practice.
I know. When I'm
so this is why the questions get asked.
Sarah Barshop had under Houston Texans. If you go to their news section, basically it says Watson likely out for Texans preseason opener.
Nope. Likely out. He's for sure out. He's not playing in a preseason.
Cully said,
"Oh, what's wrong with y'all? Why are y'all having to write stuff like he's likely out?"
They asked Cully, and Cully was like, "Well, because of a lack of reps, he's probably not going to play in game one." Oh, the lack of reps? Where you mean where he plays the Texan quarterback cosplay for 25 minutes and then walks
That's
away?
Exactly what this is cosplay. He's LARPing.
Touchdown! Touchdown! Pew, pew, pew.
You know who's not LARPing right now? My friends over at carsforkids.org. This is for real. This is for real. They're working with Houston Can Academy. But ladies and gentlemen, this is for real. They will come out and pick up your car, your truck, your SUV, your RV. They don't care what it is, whether it's running or not running. They want to pick it up from you. They'll haul it off. They'll do the title search and transfer for you. And so what you're going to get is a chance to get a tax write-off and get rid of that stuff that's on your property that you weren't going to sell or you weren't going to use. Maybe it doesn't work. And a lot of these vehicles, you know, don't work. But here's the great thing. Instead of you just getting rid of it and that's that and you have to pay for somebody to haul it off, it gets hauled off for free. You get a tax write-off and you help a kid with a second chance of getting a diploma. So you do something nice, even if it's on accident. How about you actually do something nice for real? With Houston Can Academy and my friends over at carsforkids.org. Go to the website. Make sure that you get set up for them to come out and pick up your vehicle, whether it's moving or not moving. And this is your chance to write off the car and not the kid with carsforkids.org.
Do you ever wonder what ESPN 97.5 hosts talk about during the breaks? Well, now we have your answer.
I don't know why you got to do it with the FM. All you got to do is say earmuffs.
Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975 for exclusive uncensored content.
Can you earmuff it for me?
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He's been playing great. He was a big part of what we do around here. You know, he missed some time earlier in the year, but, you know, he worked his tail off to get back. He put in the proper work, and, you know, it's paying off right now for us, and we appreciate him having him in the lineup every day.
That's Uncle Mike, Michael Brantley, talking about Aledd Mestillas. Really playing well. 8-16 his last four games. He had three hits and three RBIs yesterday. The Astros win 5-1. Fromber picks up the win. And the Astros with three in Los Angeles against the Angels. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you got Zach Greinke, followed by Luis Garcia, followed by Lance McCullers. And the return of Aledd Mestillas has been a really big deal. Obviously, you ship off Toro. You get Diaz back. Diaz has played well. We'll get to Chaz McCormick later because Chaz McCormick is putting together a really strong August right now. And it looks like he is starting to really shine after yesterday he was hitless. But overall, he's really had a strong month. And that basically spotlights what he's been able to do since they moved Miles Straw to there, brought Jake Myers up from the minor leagues, and said, okay, we want to see more from Chaz McCormick. And I know some Astros fans got a little salty about Miles Straw being gone. That's kind of weird to me because he's a light-hitting outfielder. This is not a game of stolen base anymore. He'll get some, but he's not going to go for 60 or 70 stolen bases with the Astros. They're not going to be that team. He's going to have to share reps. He's not a power hitter, even though he had two at the Astros and picked up one outside of the Astros when he was traded. But McCormick is what teams look for, a guy who can bang, a guy who can hit for extra base pop. And he has responded since that trade. So we'll get into some McCormick a little bit more, and we'll get a little bit deeper with the Astros. But first, I want to talk to we do have some Alex Bregman news. We'll get to it here in a second. Let's bring Spencer in. If you guys want to jump in, Texans-related, Astros-related, or soon-to-be Rockets-related when I bring that topic up, 713-780-3776. We'll get you right on. What's up, Spencer?
Well, first of all, if y'all are going to go national again without updating the website or your Twitter feeds or anything, just warn us. Because yesterday when I tuned in, I heard a national show that was not very good. And I was like, what the hell's going on? I called the station. It rang once and then hung up. And I was like, well, that's strange. I tuned in about an hour and a half later. I don't know, whenever it was. And it was Mike Greenberg saying something about kangaroos. And I was just like, what on earth is going on? And I honestly thought for a little while that y'all had just done a full, like, KLOL and just gone, man, we're going to go national without any heads up. We're just going to ruin Sports Talk Radio. So it's good to hear.
Leave your number with Trey, and we'll call you and let you know the next time that happens. We'll call you directly.
I appreciate it very much.
No problem.
So the reason I was calling, Dell said it a minute ago, all David Culley has to say when he's asked about Deshaun Watson is no comment. Just say no comment. It's a unique situation. It's a weird situation where you have a player who might be facing legal trouble, maybe not. The NFL hasn't done anything with it. There are no criminal charges pressed. He doesn't want to be here. The Texans are garbage with or without him. Just say no comment. And so for him to sit there and just constantly shrug his shoulders, almost amazed that people were asking questions, it's just a very strange, weird look. And like Dell said, I think it's more than anything, it's just typical of what the Texans are. They're just garbage from top to bottom. They don't know what they're doing. So anyway, go Astros.
Yeah, we covered. I don't think they are handling everything well. By trying to basically eliminate practice so that the media can't see and the media can't ask Deshaun Watson, they can't see what's going on with Deshaun and ask those questions, because that's the thought. The thought is that's what they're doing. It just feels like it's such an amateurish move. How would you not know the rule about how long you have to have training camp open? That's shocking to me, but let's just say, okay, Amy Palsik's gone. She's a veteran there. Let's just say they legitimately didn't know. Why would they want to shut down practice? What are they losing from a competitive standpoint? You think the Texans, there's a mole on the inside that's going to run and tell Green Bay what you're going to do in the first preseason game?
You mean same Green Bay who's not going to play Aaron Rodgers? They're concerned about the scheme or the game plan. Spencer said, obviously, what I had said previously. Appreciate you calling in, Spencer. It's amateurish. It's not even really a big deal. Honestly, it doesn't affect the product on the field per se, and that's all that's going to matter at the end of the day. If they're bad or good, that's what matters. But when you see things like this, it makes you think they don't know what they're doing. And if you don't have faith in the organization to even get simple things like this right, let's say you're right. They're ignorant to the rule. That means they didn't hire someone competent enough to be in a position to go, excuse me, guys, we can't do that. That's against NFL rules. Or they thought they could pull one over on the people here.
Both of them sound like, I don't know, is that it? Like, I really think there is a chance that Nick Caserio thought he could just bully past the media and get done what he needed to get done, which is you can't see it anymore. I think, and maybe it's because he thought that's the way it was because Bill Belichick had such, you know, strict rules. Every coaching staff has kind of strict rules for regular season. I get that. The preseason is just the only look, and you're limited in how many fans can see it anyway. And so now it's even more strange. It's even more strange now that the Texans tried to shut down a camp. Like, all right, folks, we're going to regular season mode. Regular season. You haven't played a preseason game yet.
You haven't even traveled to Green Bay yet.
Regular season mode. What the hell does that mean?
You haven't even had one of those practices against a team, like one of those dual practices. Like, what are you talking about shutting it down?
Well, we've got caller starting to call in about Caserio, so we'll get to you here in just a second.
And you actually thought you were going to get some Astros talking.
Yeah, I did. I was going to get – look at this. I did. I got fooled. This is what happens to me. It's easy to pull me off track. And I had some some Alex Bregman information. We'll get to the Alex Bregman information and your Camp Caserio calls here in just a moment.
I love Camp Caserio.
780-377. Does it exist? Camp Caserio's closed for business.
They tried to shut it down early.
Maybe the real Camp Caserio is the friends we made along the way.
Maybe that's what it is, Trey. And at some point, I want to talk about Jalen Green. Oh, that jumped off while I was gone. I was like, oh, my goodness. We got a potential superstar here. 744. Speaking of potential superstars, that's what Billy is, the owner of Aqueduct Plumbing. His sister Mary is the one who answers phones, and is it's kind of a family business. Houston plumbers, having a plumber is a big deal. I always say having a car repair person, an air conditioning person, and a plumber that you know you can trust. Those are really, really big deals. And from a plumbing standpoint, repiping is a huge, huge need in the Houston area. It was before. I dealt with it 3 years ago when I had to get my plumbing repiped because I have the old galvanized steel or the copper, you know, that deteriorates. A lot of houses that were built in the early 60s, this is what you're going to have, especially built pre-1980s. You're going to have this. And when it rusts out and when it erodes and deteriorates, you're going to have leaks. And when that happens, it can cause issues underneath your home. And that's what I ended up having. And, you know, if you just go with the professionals who can take a look at it and potentially get you repiped, they do it in 1 day is what they're able to do at Aqueduct. And that can save you the headaches that I had. Plus, having a plumber, you know, listen, this is a company that you can trust here in the Houston area. Great reviews from Better Business Bureau. And it's somebody who can not only do the repiping, but also the standard plumbing work that you need done. The big jobs, the smaller jobs, those are my friends over at Aqueduct. So go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com, A-Q-U-E, ductplumbing.com, aqueductplumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Keep them on standby so that you get to Aqueduct. Now you got a guy. I gave you a guy. It's Billy over at Aqueduct Plumbing.
ESPN 97.5. Monday, August 16th, we're writing the next chapter in Houston sports radio history.
You ready?
On the independent voice for Houston sports, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Let's do it.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
749 here on The Bench. Lance Zierlein, Dell Olele with you. And before we get to Tony, who wants to talk about Camp Casario here for just a second, I think that's what Houston's called. I think we all have to call it Camp Casario. I think that's how it works. It's where you shut it down. And how do you like that sleepover camp? Philip Lindsay's dad is getting called. Yeah, you need to come pick up Philip because Camp Casario just got closed down. Oh, I just paid all that money for Camp Casario.
Maybe we're not focused on something. Are the Texans out of money? Is that why they had to shut it down early?
No, I don't think. I don't think they're. I think they just tried to shut it down. Okay. The league said, no, the rules are the 26. I'm sorry. You can't shut anything down. The Astros are not shutting down Alex Bregman. He's going to be back. But he talked about the fact that, okay, yeah, this is this recovery's taking a little while for Alex Bregman. Well, here's why it's taking a little while.
What you got for us?
Nothing. Feeling really good. Everything is – it's a process that's going in the right direction. You know what I mean? It's just, it's freaking unpredictable, and it stinks. Like, I wish I could, like, 2 months ago have been like, this is the day I'm going to be back playing. But it's just not the case with these types of injuries. Getting really close. I feel like everything's going in the right direction. We're continuing to improve. I know that we stopped the rehab assignment, but there are some things that we're really focused on in the rehabilitation process that are going to prepare me not to have this happen again, and that's number one for me. Not only coming back, but coming back stronger and coming back for the rest of the season. So it's been a weird process. It's been different than any rehab I've ever had because it's just. But it was a little worse than the ones in the past, like that I've had. So now that we're moving in the right direction, we're super close. I'll probably play a few more games, but hopefully be back shortly. And I can't wait to be back. I just want to be back for the long haul, and I get a little excited and I want to play and I want to be back and I say, hey, I'm ready soon. But realistically, it probably is really smart what we're doing and taking time and making sure that it doesn't happen again, because the more time that I have healed and the more time I put into rehab, the better off for the longevity I'll be. So hoping that is good.
General Manager James Click said Bregman's quadriceps muscle's fine, but the team wants to make sure he's completely ready to play before returning to the club. You know, something interesting that you found is that he's reaching out to the Rockets and Tillman Fertitta's son, Patrick, regarding some help.
Yeah, he told Mark Berman yesterday he's planning for some pretty cool studies, and they're talking about doing something with some doctors from Australia. He says the Rockets have a machine he needs, and he's going to reach out to Patrick Fertitta about it. Patrick Fertitta on this particular thing said, Alex and I spoke a little while ago, and we're going to make whatever he needs available to help him, to help his recovery. We love the Astros, so anything we can ever do for any of the guys, we are happy to. You have deemed it the Chris Paul machine. I'm not sure if there's a wing in the Rockets training facility dedicated to Chris Paul's health with a plaque. I'm not sure, but if it's soft tissue, we can assume Chris Paul took advantage of it.
Yeah, I don't know what the Rockets have that's a special machine, but give it to Alex Bregman. You know, it's worth noting also that Alex Bregman, James Click talked about, he's working on getting his timing back. I took a little peek at his minor league numbers with the Skeeters. Have you seen him?
He talked about not swinging at bad pitches, making contact, you know, taking some walks.
What do you think he's hitting with the Skeeters? 27 at-bats, 7 games.
I'm going to go... guy who normally struggles when he's getting started, I'm going to go, what, 6 for 27?
2 for 27.
Well, that's worse.
He's hitting 95 against minor league pitching. He said he struck out once, and he's got 6 walks. He's got a double and an RBI, and that's it. So, yeah, maybe the reason he's out on assignment still is because he can't hit for the Skeeters right now. He's not hitting AAA pitching. He's hitting 95. That might be a reason why also. Let's get Tony in here. What's up, Tony?
So this Caseria thing, it reminds me of an analogy that I'm always trying to educate my wife on, and that's hot girl privilege. And, you know, everybody knows that hot girl privilege exists, right? You can get away with things.
Yeah.
Life is just gifted to you when you're a hot girl. And that's sort of, you know, who doesn't know that exists, though, is hot girls, because that's just sort of like the lens through which they see life. That's just how life is to them.
Oh, he's so nice. Of course he's nice to you. Everyone's nice to you.
Yes, exactly. So coming from an organization that's won, you know, 5 or 6 Super Bowls, whatever, he just thinks that's how it is.
Oh, hot girl privilege. There it is. Yep.
It's like, dude, no, you've been horribly disfigured in a car accident. This is the Texans.
He hadn't seen the mirror yet, though.
You got to recalibrate, bro.
You just nailed that analogy. He's like, wait a minute. I thought all teams could do this. We could just shut down and change the rules anytime we wanted to. No. That's the Patriot. No.
He hasn't taken off the wrappings from the injury, and he hasn't been shown that hand mirror where he looks and screams in horror.
Exactly.
He'll catch that.
We need an intervention.
Yeah.
What are some other – Tony, just because I know you're good at these games, we got a couple minutes before break. What are some other features of hot girl privilege?
Leaving – you know, it's the whole thing, leaving the house with $5 to go out for the night. And you come home with $7 and you've had drinks bought for you all night.
Yeah, that's definitely the first one that I thought of. That's one that exists 100%.
You know, you don't wait in lines. Strangers are just so friendly.
What's more exciting for you two? A hot girl who knows about her privilege, or the ones who are naive to their privilege? Like the one who goes, okay, I know who I am and what I look like, so I'm going to take full advantage, or the one who goes, oh, I don't know why things are happening great for me.
No. For me, it's the ones who take advantage and know, like the ones who know, because they will push. They're the ones who push. And it doesn't have to be, you can just see it. You don't even have to be involved in it. They're the ones who push around their hot girl privilege and just get away with whatever they want for a long time.
That is worse, but come on, to be in denial about it, at some point at least acknowledge it.
Oh, well, yeah, if you're in pure denial
if
about
someone
it,
informs
what if you're
you,
oblivious to it?
But if someone will inform you, like I guess Tony would, then you should accept, don't just pretend life is, everyone's great to you, and that's because, you know, you just, life is good. You have a certain advantage.
All these guys at work just really are friendly. No, I'm really good friends with Tim and Gary and
he's
Matt.
He's so funny.
And he's, yeah, they are, I'm just good friends. They just want to be friends with me. There's nothing wrong. Oh, do they? Do I have to tell you how this works? Your work friends? Do I have to tell you how the work friends thing actually works? Mm. Do you really want to know what's going on in their mind? Tony, you know the deal on that one. The guys at work are like, no, they just think I, no, they just really want to be friends with, okay.
They're just spotted up in the corner waiting for the ball. They're going to shoot their shot at some point.
Yeah, as soon as there's a fumble. And in some cases, there doesn't have to be a fumble. And that's what's going to happen. Don't be so stupid.
Look, I've had these talks with different women in my life throughout, and they all...
You're the friend who's trying to come in from the,
no, I'm the
side
one,
door.
No, I'm the one who goes, you know what he's doing, right?
Oh, you hip him to the game?
And they're all like, they're all oblivious.
No,
like,
it's no. Friends. He's my work friend.
Ah, okay. Sure.
He's my work friend. Mm.
And it's always, no, he's just being nice.
Yeah.
It's always, he's just being nice. And me as a guy who's like, no, he's not.
Do y'all really not know how this works?
Yeah.
You really don't know the game?
Look, I'm that guy right now. You don't know it.
This is what I've had. I've had this conversation with my wife. I said, you just don't like, she's a stay at home. She's like homeschools my daughter and all that stuff. But we've had this conversation about men and women friends at work and all that, and I'm sure, and it happens a lot.
I'm
that,
sure
that's fine, but the hot girl at work, I'm telling you for a fact now, there's a lot of guys who are friends or want to be friends with her. If y'all don't know that, then I'm sorry I have to tell you that right now as you're headed into work.
Yeah,
and for you guys who are sitting there like, shut up. Yeah, sorry guys. I'm throwing it out there. I'm just ruining your little plots.
Yeah, that guy who decided to engage you on the Bachelor talk is really just doing it because he watched the show.
Is
he
good friends with the four at all? No, he's not good friends with the four, but the nine, he's great. No, we're good friends. We just go have lunch together because she's really good friends. Because you're good friends.
The game.
Good friends.
It is a finesse.
Trey, you run that game sometime, I know.
Not really.
Trey.
I don't talk to anybody. I just go home and I watch old NASCAR races.
That's, yeah. I don't doubt that.
You wouldn't bond with an attractive woman over NASCAR just because you're pretending to be her friend?
No.
That wouldn't be a path for you?
No.
Okay.
I don't pretend, Dale.
I do.
I'm not MGMT. It's not time to pretend.
That's a reference like eight people got, but I like it, though.
All right, we're going to break it here, and we will get to coming up next here in just a I'm getting a lot of people weighing in on hot girl policy and hot girl this and hot girl privilege. We're going to break it right here, and we come back. Want to talk for a second about get into your Houston Rockets. I missed the Jalen Green coming out party, and wow, do Rocket fans have a little something to be excited about. 8 o'clock here on your friends here at ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Do you?
I don't. What's Allstate? What are we talking here?
That's your read.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, well,
so
okay.
Let's just take it to a break, like I was trying to tell you, and we'll move on from there.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do